Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. The karmic conversation holds the key. However, the way the conversation is framed causes us to go to what is not so rather than what is so. Assignment. What is revealed to you through the karmic conversation? RL, what you see. Example. Being here is the safest place to be. I can't see that because the conversation is focused on the lack of safety and convinces me the way to be safe is by controlling the externals, people and environment. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Patty speaking.
It looks like Sherry got muted. Hang on a second.
There I am.
There you are.
I was dropped twice and having a heck of a time getting back on. So, yeah. Hi.
Hello. Hi, Sherry and Ashwini.
Okay. Where are we? I just arrived at the party.
Patty, oh. I just unmuted Patty, Sherry.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, hello, Patty. What are you
hello,
seeing?
Hello, Sherry. We're all at the party.
Good.
What I saw this morning as I was sitting with the question about karma was that ego wants me to know through it. And as I sat and just being present, the voices were saying, you know, you need the answer. You got to have it by 9 o'clock. And so, and there is an answer to be had. And
I, ego, know what it is.
Yes.
So stick with me, Patty.
Yeah, and I looked up at, I have an original Thich Nhat Hanh calligraphy that says, be still and know. And I was brought back to, there's no time and no place and nowhere to be and nothing to know if I'm just here listening to the birds, watching my breath, being present in the body.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly so. And so the karma, we could say that the karma holds the key, right? In the
mm-hmm.
in that it gave you the information, right? Oh, you need to know, and you need to know right now, and you need ego to tell you, and what you realized is that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Gassho.
Gassho.
Thanks, Patty. That's what we would call hidden in plain sight, right, Sherry?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello, you're live on the air. Okay, well, maybe they don't want to talk to us. Hang on a second, let me bring someone else on. All right. You're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Uh-oh. Yeah, well, I can't believe nobody but Patty wants to talk to us today.
Well, let me try to bring someone
get Patty back.
Okay, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Brian. Can you hear me?
Well, hello.
Oh, you can.
Perfectly.
Great.
Yeah.
Excellent.
What do you
So, let's see. The... What am I saying with this? So being caught in, I guess, caught in not knowing and that not being okay, and knowing that that's not where I want to be either, and then just sort of seeing that, like getting like that's just a really tight process loop right there where I get caught in that and I get trolled around in it a lot of times.
Yeah, and of course, as I'm sure you know, that's what we call identification with ego.
Yeah, I know that's what we call it. You know, inside it, it's
what. Inside it is what identification with ego feels like.
Yeah.
That's why it's termed suffering.
Right. Yes, that is what it feels like.
Yes.
And
we want to believe, of course, that it's something else, that there's a real person there. No. No, that's really me. I really feel that way. And of course, ego is happy to make those protests, right? No. I am the authentic human being, and I really need to know, and I can't know, and I'm suffering. When we step back a little, we realize, wait a minute, that conversation sounds like ego.
Yeah. So, yes, and it's it's just probably just the nature of the practice, but the trying to step back doesn't step me back, and I know that. I see that.
It will, Brian, if you use the practice of recording and listening.
Yes, it does, actually, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it does, because you'll hear that. And, of course, you know, as soon as we hear it, we realize, wait a minute, the intelligence that's animating life doesn't have a need to know. Like we could say life knows, because life is, right?
Yeah.
So the only thing that needs to know something is something that is attempting to be separate from life and have a real existence. So when we let that talk, when we let that talk into the recorder, yeah, but I need to know. I need to know what's going on. I need to get this right. This is, the stakes are really, when you listen to that, you realize, I don't think that's a real person.
Yeah. I mean, I think, or it seems, just being patient with it, because, like, I mean, being aware
being
I'm identified, being patient with it, because being aware I'm identified, trying to get away from it is like what it seems I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to get unidentified.
No.
And that doesn't work.
No. Because that only ego is identified. So
right.
Only ego is going to want to try to get disidentified, because that's not going to work. Which is why we don't do that. It's like people trying to drop the conversation and come back to the breath. Well, that lasts about 3 seconds, maybe, if you're lucky. By the time you turn the attention to the breath, you're already re-identified. So we have this great tool that we use that takes care of all of that. And that's why we use it, because trying to step back from ego is just ego.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah, good. All right, there's the karma hidden in plain sight, right?
Great.
We can watch
Great.
How the conversation just loops back on itself, which is the nature of karma.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Brian. Sure, two things dropped in about that. One is that if the karma, which we seem to all have, is wanting to know, not knowing how to step back from ego is also the karma.
Yes.
right? That that's what is not being, it's, that's not what, that's what's hidden in plain sight, that the need to know is still operating in my desire to be disidentified and not knowing how
and
to
I
do
and I need to know I'm disidentified.
I
need to know what ego is.
And I need to know how to disidentify. And that actually stops us from doing what you just said, which is to pick up the recorder and record and listen. Because if I'm listening, listening is not part, is not the same process as not knowing.
Right. Right.
Right? That is the disidentification. And so if we believe the content that I should not be having this experience and try to work through that, that's what doesn't work. And so
that's the Chinese puzzle.
That's the Chinese puzzle. And so the disidentification doesn't look like what ego knows to be disidentification, and we don't catch on to that.
And to extend your point, if I'm listening and I hear a voice say, "Well, I'm still not disidentified."
Right.
And we can record that, right?
Yes, and listen to it.
What
and
I hear you
just
say.
Step back. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Well, hello, Catherine. What are you seeing?
Well, pretty much what the first conversation what the conversation with ego hides is that there's nothing wrong. So
yes,
that I don't have to fix something and I don't have to figure anything out. But how seductive that conversation is of like something triggers, I see something or hear something. Something, you know, or the voices come in, I go unconscious, and something's triggered, and well, I got to fix that.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
And
what I was, go ahead, Catherine. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and there's really nothing to fix. It was just all a conversation about the sensation.
Just all made up.
Yeah.
Yes. And again, it takes me to that, one of my favorite insights about that. So ego gives you a job to do that cannot be done and convinces you that you must do it.
Yes.
So there's nothing to fix, but you must, there must be something wrong. So you have to figure out what that is so that you can fix it.
Right. Right. And if, or ego will tell me what it is that's wrong, but it's not at all something I could change. Like I have no control over.
But you should.
Yes.
And if that's the case, then you really ought to disidentify.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you're just caught in ego, and what you really need to do is get back to center.
Yeah, you're crazy for having this conversation with me. Is what basically.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And by the time you have that conversation, it's got the next thing. That's what's wrong with you, right?
Yeah.
Well, you need to fix that.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it always leads back to self-hate, too, no matter what it is. It's like.
All roads lead to self-hate.
All roads lead to self-hate. It's rather amazing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And the other thing that I was looking at as you were describing that is childhood. Okay? There was a time when all of us, no matter how grisly our childhood might have been, when we were just fine with whatever was going on.
Yeah.
And even though adults might project onto a child that they're suffering hideously in that circumstance, they're actually very likely not. Because they're not separate from it. Okay?
Right.
And then we got the information. And the information we got was how we are, how you were being was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You should be different. You should be doing something different. You should know something different. You should something different. And we're off and running. And ego and karma just has us. So yep. what you're closing in on, because you're having the experience, is that when none of that's happening, we call that a point, it's that space between the thoughts as a little way, a doorway into that. When you're mm-hmm. just here and none of that's going on, there's no problem.
Mm-hmm.
You're fine. You're happy.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
here it comes. Well, but what about?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Thank you
All
so
right.
much.
Thank Thanks. You.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Thank you, Catherine.
Bye.
And Sherry, if I may extend that point, I think that the thing we get eventually, especially with giving up self-hate, is that to have the conversation is not something to fix.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Right, that identification.
When we realize.
Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
I think what you were pointing at is as soon as we realize we're in a conversation, I'm thinking about something, then drop it.
Right. The next
is that what you're saying?
The thought not to entertain is I shouldn't be having the conversation.
That's
right. That's what's wrong, and that's what needs to get fixed. It puts us back in the place where we're talking about
right.
talking to about Ryan, which is then I become someone who needs to alter this experience.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Instead, we just drop it.
Mm-hmm. Redirect
mm-hmm.
attention.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there. Hi, Sharon from Barbados.
Hey, Sharon.
Ah, first time I've done it on my phone. I didn't know it would work. Yeah, this is about what is keeping me. What do I?
Karma.
What? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what is keeping me tied to that is, oh boy, just kind of like fear and panic, and then I grope and not sure what to do next and want to run. I was just I'm a part of a professional group that I volunteered for something yesterday and. Out and I volunteered to lead it. And then when I realized these people are all over the world and I really don't like working in the evening. And so then I thought, you know, I should probably back out of this. And but then I thought, you know, and I spoke to someone who suggested, well, why don't you just send out an email and ask people how we can handle it? And so I guess I'll do that. And I'm not quite so panicked now.
Well, Sharon, the interesting part for me is, first of all, where were you when you volunteered? Okay, that's a really important place not to figure out, because you can't go back and figure that out.
Well, that's
but
true.
You can watch for it. You can watch for it. Okay, and then. The setup with that. So now this is not a should. I'm just offering this as a perspective. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The setup is, I'm going to guess you go unconscious. Okay. And oh, that sounds great. Yeah, I'll do that. And that's the setup, because then ego is going to come in with well, but, and then it's going to start solving your problem for you. Okay, well, you need to get out of this, right? Okay, well, now what do you need to do? What do you need to do to get out of this? And there's this whole karmic pattern that I bet as soon as you get off of this, it'll begin to drop in for you, if it hasn't already, all of the times in your life that you have gone down that particular little trail, okay? And then eventually, of course, it feeds into a belief in inadequacy and feeling bad and that sort of thing, right? So
yeah.
So to bring conscious awareness to the fact, not to get caught in the content of it, okay, or even in the process of the content okay, well, I agreed to this, but I don't want to do it, so how am I going to get, okay? That really reinforces the whole karmic process. So simply, this is the part that is just a little suggestion, to simply say, I agreed to do it, I'm going to do it. Okay, so a voice in my head says, but you don't like to do things at night. Okay, all right. I don't have to like to do things at night in order to keep an agreement. And watch what happens each step of the way as you don't go with ego down the karma trail.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, my thought was, my thought was just, look, take it a step at a time. Just take it a step at a time and trust life and let it work itself out.
Right. The slippery slope there is that life, I can just almost guarantee this, did not say, well, you don't like to do things at night, so let's see how you can get out of it. That is not life guidance. I'm going to just guarantee it right there.
Yeah, but
let's just take it a step at a time and let the voices direct this.
Yeah, but now I'm stuck. Now I have to do it. No matter what time of night it is, I'm stuck.
Well, Sharon. That's the karmic deal. That's how karma controls people. That's how ego gets us to do the same thing over and over and over, no matter how much suffering there is in it. So that's the pattern that you're attempting to break. So going now with ego, as it starts making its cases for why it wants to get you to do what it's always gotten you to do in order to control you, might not be the best choice.
So the better choice is that just go and enjoy it no matter what time I meet? Is that the way?
Enjoy it might be a strong word at this point. Pay attention. Watch. Hear the voices for what they are rather than identifying with them and believing them. There's just about nothing that is inherently unenjoyable. For ego, almost everything other than it controlling a human being is inherently not enjoyable.
Yeah, well, I'm just...
Okay,
I'm even,
that's it. This is,
that's
this
it.
Is, as far
Listen
as
to it again.
Go with this. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So do what you do. Pay close attention. Lots of recordings. See what you see.
All right. Okay, well, thank you. I'm glad I had a chance to talk with you. Thank you.
You are so welcome.
All right.
Have fun.
Bye. Thank you. Gotcha. Bye. Bye.
Thanks, Sharon. Sherry, that's so important what you pointed out, that we recognize, that's what we're doing in these exercises, which is to articulate the process steps for ourselves and then realize where we get caught, right? That it's... The setup has already happened, and so I'm just in the next sticky on the process map at the point when I realize I'm stuck. And so at that point, the way not to go to the next sticky is not to suffer over being stuck, but just to pay attention and keep going. Because the next sticky is see how you can get out of it.
Yeah.
Right? And so if we want to reverse the process, we actually have to stay where we are and not go with the original assumption is that the reason I'm suffering is because I said yes, not that I'm still in a conversation at this point in the process. And so the exit
is to drop
the conversation at this point in the process.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not suffering because, in this case, I'm not suffering because I said yes to something. I'm suffering because I'm in an ego karma conversation in my head. That's true for all of us all the time, right? It's not what's happening to me. It's not the circumstances of life. It never is. It is always conversation in the head. Always.
Yeah. Right. And we just have to realize it's the conversation that's happening now, which is what I don't see, right? It presumes that it's what? It's the circumstance.
That's right. Because this is really real.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. I think we have time for one more caller. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Tricia from Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Well, hello, Tricia. What are you seeing?
Gosh. Well, this is so relevant to what I've been listening to so far on the call. But so the karma is this need to fix it. Like I need to fix everything and therefore kind of be in control.
It's a blanket statement, right? I need to fix. And then we just fill in the whatever is at the end of that sentence.
Right.
And there's always something. Yeah. Okay. Right. Got it.
And so I was working on this with control with a situation. And, you know, I thought I had it all figured out. It was feeling so good. So it's a situation where I'm volunteering, I'm partnering with someone to volunteer, and it's like a support group. And the other partner, you know, I guess I have some projections and judgments about their negativity and their, if they're right to be doing this. And I was really suffering over it and thinking I needed to fix this. I need to make sure, you know, I made some attempts and gave some feedback and that, but it just like wasn't working. So then I just started the practice of letting go, and I'm not going to fix it. You know, I'm just going to show up and be the best that I can be. I'm just going to let this go. And I was just, God, it felt great. I was not suffering over it. I felt like I'm doing my part. And now
I've arrived.
Yes, it felt really good. But now, like, it's a small town, so through the grapevine and confidential sources and stuff, this is the third time now I've gotten feedback that because someone has spoken to this particular person, they are not going to join the support group. And they're like, and so now I'm just sitting here with, like, these people are actually in crisis. There's not really other, you know, resources here in the community, and now I'm sitting here thinking, I've got to fix it. I've got to do something. Like, I'm called to do it. Now I'm getting sucked back into that suffering of, I've got to, now, well, so the question, you know, question is, am I getting sucked back into that, or is this really, you know?
Well, yes, you are. Yes, yes, you are. You know, that's one of those places where ego gives us two bad choices, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to figure out, are you getting, one of two things, either you're just making this all up or it's really real, okay? This is either a problem, you've got to fix this, or you've got to just ignore it. Basically.
Right. And to the bad person, you know, allow these people to just remain in crisis and go forward with something that know is not helpful.
Yeah. And so what it comes down to, Tricia, it seems like for me, is it's up to you. And it's kind of, it is akin to what we were just talking about with Sharon, because I would project that what's going on is a belief in inadequacy. People are basically unequal to their lives. And so people need something in order to be equal to their lives, and it turns out you're the person who needs to supply that.
Mm-hmm.
Which puts you in that, I need to fix this place. Right? It's up to me.
Right.
Up to me to fix this, right? And so I just offer that as a place to look, as a karmic place to look, and an ego story to maintain that karma, that somehow you are more capable than other people, that mm-hmm. you have a better sense of what people need, of where they are and what they need. And so that puts the responsibility on you. And so it might be really helpful to look and see if that's true, if you actually really believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Which would be a larger looking than, you know, just trying to answer a question in the moment, because, of course, you don't believe that.
Right.
That would be incredibly egocentric. But on an ego karmic level, very often we are operating out of things, which is back to Brian and the recording and listening, right? We are operating out of things that are not enough in our conscious awareness for us to recognize them for what they are.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know I have this experience of this past, you know, few weeks, you know, when I really felt like free from this. Really, you know, doing the recordings and saying, like, this is, you know, and it really felt great. And it felt mm-hmm. like, you know, I can show up and offer what I can offer when I'm there. And mm-hmm. I felt much more energized about what I could bring to the mm-hmm. table. And then she has other things that she brings to the table. And it's just, like you were saying earlier, I can't control that anyway.
That's right.
I can't control
how people react to either one of you.
Right. So it's exactly what you just said is, you know, ego says, you know, here's something that is impossible to control, and by the way, you need to control it.
Exactly. And yeah. There it's got us, right?
Yeah, and I like cash. Like I said, I was just working with this, and then all of a sudden I found myself like trapped. Again,
yes,
just like that.
Yes, in a second. And again, as I can't remember now actually who I said it to just a little bit ago, but if you pay attention to this, which you will, I trust, you will see that this process has gone on throughout your whole life.
Oh yes,
that's how we know it's karma. Right?
Oh yeah,
that's how we know it's ours to resolve.
And this,
it really isn't the circumstances.
This voice that says that's so convincing, that says, like, yeah. if I don't control this, you know, these people
bad things are
going to
happen.
And it's my
bad
fault.
Bad things are going to happen. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's where we start pulling those threads, right? That's where we want to untangle all that. Oh, it's my fault? Really? Where does that come from? If I don't control other people, then their life is my fault?
Yeah. And you feel so bad. But it's like, no. And it's not like I'm giving up. I'm not like quitting the group, or I'm going to continue to support it and bring my very best forward. And
that's
it
right.
just feels good.
And just watch what happens.
Yeah.
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 Thank you.
Thank you, Tricia.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah,
thanks,
good,
Tricia.
Good to hear from you. Gosh, oh.
And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. Our assignment for today. In awareness, there is no becoming. There is no end to be gained. There is silent observation without choice and condemnation, from which there comes understanding. Jai Krishnamurti. For the next 24 hours, allow the insights from the assignment so far to percolate in awareness. Perhaps review your notes, re-listen to the radio shows, and revisit the recordings you've made to date. Then, make a recording that assists you to summarize your process of suffering around control. As you listen to this recording, as you look at conditioning from awareness, without choice or condemnation, what drops in as understanding? RL, what you see.
Gorgeous. All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.